Welcome to Solo, the world's most dangerous dog podcast. Join Solo and his long-suffering family in various misadventures about the trouble the best dog in the world can cause. Read by J.R.R. Langley, adapted from Adventures of Solo books. In this episode, Solo attends a wedding. Solo discovers how much he likes mac and cheese.
It was a big day in Solo's household, as the family's back garden was to be used for a wedding. A close friend of Mum's had requested the use of the garden, as it overlooked a small valley through which ran a seldom-used railway line. The view, in a nutshell, was divine. Match that with a lovely summer's day, and the family knew that the wedding would be one to remember. The stress that all this had caused Dad was, however, beyond comprehension. Twice in the past week, cleaners had been called to ensure that the house was spotless. The children had been scrubbed so much that their skin positively glowed. Solo had not escaped unharmed either. He had been taken to the dirty doggy dog wash to be scrubbed even more than the children, so much so he didn't even smell of a dog anymore. He smelled clean, something Solo found most unsavory. Even worse, he was given a pink ribbon to wear around his neck. Pink! The color was chosen because, much to Solo's horror, he had been chosen as the ring bearer. He was to have a small saddle strapped to his back, and the ring was to rest on a tray of pink velvet as he walked down the aisle. The bride-to-be had fallen in love with Solo quite some time ago when she came to visit the family. "He simply has to be in the wedding," she had said, flamboyantly giving Solo a big kiss. "I won't take no for an answer." Solo was certainly a good-looking dog, which of course he knew. By now, all the attention he received for his looks had made him quite conceited, and plain and simple, he liked the attention. But Solo drew the line at wearing pink ribbons and pink saddles designed to carry a ring. The trouble was, no matter how much he protested, no one seemed to pay any attention whatsoever to his objections. When he was given a bath in the days leading up to the wedding, he sat down in the tub and refused to move and simply sulked, which made washing Solo much more of a chore than usual. But it made no difference. He was to be in the wedding, and that was that. When the pink ribbon was first tied around his neck, he immediately rolled on his back trying to get it off. And when that didn't work, he went outside and rolled in the mud to make the ribbon as dirty as possible. The result was a success. The ribbon was now unusable. The unintended side effect was that Solo got dirty too, which meant another sorry trip to the dirty doggy dog wash with a now thoroughly exhausted Mum, and another hour of Solo's time endeavoring to avoid being washed when all he really wanted to do was to take a nap in the afternoon sun. After a stern warning from Mum, who by now had wised up to Solo's little game, he decided trying to remove the ribbon wasn't worth the risk of yet another bath. Besides, Mum had also decided to hold off putting the ribbon or the saddle on Solo until right before he was due to walk down the aisle, making any protest he might come up with a waste of time. The night before the wedding was a rehearsal dinner held at a nearby hotel. Solo was required to practice walking down the imaginary aisle between the tables, led by Mum, who had wisely decided to stick with her decision and not place the ribbon and saddle on Solo until the wedding. "Good boy, Solo," she said. As they walked down the practice aisle, she encouraged him all the way to the altar, the table where the happy couple were waiting. The plan was that as Solo reached the bride and groom, Mum would stop and the groom would reach down and pick up the ring from Solo's back. Solo didn't bat an eye and stayed stock still as the groom reached down for the pretend ring. "Perhaps this won't be so bad after all," thought Solo. "I mean, I will be the center of attention." Mum breathed a sigh of relief. This wedding could go fine after all, she thought. The rest of the dinner was a great success, and the wedding party went to bed that night, knowing the wedding would be perfect. The wedding was scheduled to be in the evening, which meant that early the next day a small army of caterers and waiters took over the home's kitchen, and wedding rental teams poured into the back garden to set up the white marquee, tables and chairs, a dance floor, and a small stage. Dad looked on through a back window at the organized chaos and wondered aloud what he had done to deserve this. Solo, from his usual perch under the kitchen table, to avoid all the people scurrying about but still see and hear everything, listened as Dad muttered about what this must all be costing. Solo raised an ear to listen in more carefully, as he often learnt some salty language from Dad. But in this case he was disappointed as Mum walked in, which resulted in Dad having to cease muttering to himself. "It's going well," said Mum to her husband. "I do hope the weather holds." Dad simply rolled his eyes, away from Mum of course, and said nothing, deciding that the best idea was to pretend he was reading the paper. "I know you're ignoring me. You are reading the cooking section," Mum said to him. She always had Dad's number. Knowing he was beaten, he put down the paper. "Look, don't worry," he said. "The marquee is up, the tables and chairs are all set up, and there is no rain forecast. Although why we have to do all this for your friends when they are quite capable of..." He caught the look in his wife's eye and knew retreat was the best course of action. He went back to reading how to make blancmange. Mum left in a huff, but only after informing Dad she was going to have a little lie down. Dad raised his eyebrows again, only this time so Solo could see it. "All men together, Solo," was the message. This little exchange started Solo thinking. The trouble was, once Solo started thinking, catastrophe or chaos would often follow. But as Solo was a dog and never had to clear up his own mistakes, it had yet to sink into his mind during his 3 years on this earth that perhaps, just perhaps, he should think things through before acting. It wasn't that Solo was a rash dog. He meant well. It was just that his youthful enthusiasm caused more problems than any dog had the right to cause. What had attracted Solo's attention was the obvious stress the wedding was placing on the family. If only he could find a way to help, and therefore ease the burden. How hard could that be? He thought. Following Mum's cue, Dad had decided to take a nap on the couch in the living room. Now left to his own devices, Solo got up from his corner perch in the kitchen and walked out the open back door and into the garden. It was indeed a lovely day, as Dad had pointed out. The large sweeping lawn down towards the valley was a bustle of activity. The marquee was up towards the end of the garden, all splendid and white. Even from where Solo was, he could see it was full of tables, chairs, and even a small dance floor. Closer to the house were many rows of chairs separated by an aisle, which the bride and groom would walk down. The chairs closest to the aisle had lovely flowers attached to them. At the very end of the aisle was an altar, designed by the father of the bride and made in his workshop. It was an archway into the future for his daughter and future son-in-law. Draped in even more flowers and raised slightly above the lawn, small steps led the way up to it. It truly was a sight to behold. All this was, of course, wasted on Solo. All that was on his mind was how to help out his family, the people he cared about most in the whole wide world. Now, in reality, of course, all Solo had to do in order to please his family was to carry the ring down the aisle, present it to the groom. That would have been more than enough. But Solo was a dog who liked to think on a grand scale. Nothing was going to prevent him from making this day extra special for everyone, especially his family. As Solo wandered down the garden towards the altar, the wedding workers barely batted an eye at him. They all knew Solo and were well aware he was a very friendly dog who wouldn't hurt a fly or likely get lost. What they didn't know, though, was that Solo had an extremely inquisitive nature. Even if they had known, they had far more important things to worry about at that moment, such as setting up for the wedding. So Solo was given free rein. Had his family seen him, however, that would have been quite another thing. Solo neared the altar. It was surely an even more impressive thing up close. Tall, with the wood stained a lovely and gleaming dark brown, with beautiful flowers at the very top, highlighting the curves of the arch. All in all, it was a wonderful thing to behold. Any bride would be delighted to be married here. Solo walked around the back of the altar and decided to head towards the marquee. Perhaps the caterers had left some food out. Solo was hungry, and a hungry Solo was a danger to all around him, including himself. The catering staff were too busy to notice Solo, or if they did, they ignored him. Solo was well known as a chill dog who kept his own counsel. As the caterers moved food into the marquee and onto a row of tables that would become the serving area, Solo caught the unmistakable scent of macaroni and cheese. Result, thought Solo. He was not allowed mac and cheese. Not ever. The only time he'd ever had some was when one of the kids was home from school with a nasty cold, and Mum had allowed them to cuddle under a blanket in the living room and watch cartoons while eating a bowl of mac and cheese. The child had taken a turn for the worse, and in the confusion of getting the alien youngster upstairs to bed, the half-eaten bowl of mac and cheese was left on the couch. That was all Solo had needed, the food being devoured in 10 seconds flat. It may not have lasted long, but to Solo it had been a revelation. It was sheer ambrosia, and ever since that fateful day, Solo had lusted after mac and cheese, only to be denied at every turn by a family who he felt conspired against him. Now staring up at the metal chafing dish that Solo believed contained manna from heaven itself, he pondered what to do next. Why should he have to suffer with bland treats and dog food when right there, only a few feet from him, was the chance of a lifetime? Solo looked around. He knew from years of experience that any moment a human, all too well of all the bad things that can happen when a dog spies food, would come along and shoo him away. Solo knew he needed to be coy. If Solo had been able to whistle nonchalantly at that moment as if to say, "Nothing to see here," he would surely have done so. But seeing as Solo could not whistle, nor did he know how to act nonchalant, he decided to slink away to the rear of the tent as far back as he could go and bide his time. The few hours till the wedding ticked away, the guests had all arrived and were sitting in their chairs in front of the altar. The bride was all beauty, as only a bride can be. The vicar, somewhat drunk, had shown up to officiate and was slowly sobering up in the kitchen with a few cups of really strong tea. All in all, not too bad. The wedding would go off as planned. No one had even noticed that Solo was missing, which would have hurt Solo's feelings immeasurably had he known. But Solo was still safely ensconced at the back of the marquee, simply waiting for the opportunity to strike. It wasn't until 5 minutes before the wedding was due to begin that someone said, "Where's Solo?" Frantic searching ensued, with various household members and extended family joining in the hunt. No one thought to search the nether regions of the giant marquee. "Well, we'll just have to go on without him," said Mum. "It's not like him to wander off, though." "Don't worry, dear," said her husband. "Knowing Solo, he has simply decided to take a nap. We just haven't looked hard enough, that's all. Besides, we're out of time." The groom and his groomsmen were already at the altar, and a very anxious bride was giving Solo's family very dirty looks as they needed to take their places towards the front of the congregation. As the family were making their way to their seats, Solo was moving into action. He had patiently waited in the back corner of the marquee, where his white fur blended in with the white tent. He had also decided to take a nap, something he was very good at, given that it had the added benefit that if anyone should notice him, although no one did, odds were they would leave him alone. Solo stood up and looked around. Sure enough, the coast was clear. The staff had either moved outside to watch the wedding or were taking a quick food break themselves behind the marquee where no one could see them. Slowly, Solo made his way back to the table that contained the massive tray of mac and cheese. Even though it was covered with a lid, Solo just knew that mounds of mac and cheese awaited him. All he had to do was rise up, put his front paws on the table, and slowly push the lid to one side just far enough so that his tongue could dig right in. Solo was not a stupid dog. His plan was to take just enough to satisfy himself and leave the rest of it alone. Anyone coming along would assume a child, or maybe even an adult, might have grabbed a mouthful and forgotten to place the lid back on properly. As far as Solo could see, this was a foolproof plan. He raised himself up on his hind legs and, just as he had planned, rested his front paws on the linen-covered table. His nose twitched excitedly. His tongue licked his lips in anticipation. Solo looked at the chafing dish loaded with yummy mac and cheese, but he discovered there were two problems he hadn't quite anticipated. First, the shiny metal serving dish was just a bit further out of reach than he had calculated, making it that much harder to gently push the lid to one side. Also, there was a small burner under the tray that was designed to keep the food warm. Solo could feel the slight heat, but it wasn't enough to put him off his plan. Suddenly, music started to play outside. The small orchestra was playing Here Comes the Bride as Mum's friend walked down the aisle with her father. The guests stood and beamed at her. How beautiful she is, thought many of them. Solo turned his attention back to the mac and cheese. Perhaps the tray was closer to the back side of the table where the servers would be standing. That made sense. Solo went under the table and back out the other side, raising himself once more on his haunches and placing his large white paws on the table. Indeed, the tray was a bit closer, although not by much. But any little improvement was a good thing. Besides, now it was really hard to see Solo, given that he was behind the table and barely discernible against the white tent and white linens. Even though the tray was closer to Solo's outstretched nose, it was still a case of so near, yet so far away. Try as he might, he could not reach the serving tray, let alone be able to raise the lid. Solo jumped back down and started to think. Usually, this was not a good thing, as Solo, while a smart and often clever dog, would not actually think things all the way through. Solo wanted the mac and cheese. Simple. After that, well, things might have to take care of themselves a little bit. Removing the lid slightly, then leaving it back where it originally was, seemed in Solo's mind to be a stroke of genius. But his plan B left a lot to be desired. Solo, however, was a very determined dog. Once his mind was made up, there was usually no stopping him. Solo's plan B seemed straightforward enough. Grab hold with his teeth of the white linen tablecloth that was hanging down over the back of the table and slowly and very carefully pull the cloth down and back towards the rear of the tent, bringing the chafing dish with its delicious mac and cheese close enough to the edge of the table. He could then move back to plan A, slide the lid of the tray to one side, grab a few mouthfuls of mac and cheese, push the lid back and slink away with no one the wiser. The more Solo thought about his plan, the more it made perfect sense. He knew he had to get a move on, though. The food was out because the caterers knew that the guests would soon be coming in to grab their meals and then get ready for the after-wedding speeches and revelry. In other words, time was of the essence. Solo was a believer in the old saying, "Fortune favors the bold." He gripped the tablecloth with his teeth and began to gently pull. Almost imperceptibly at first, the tray of mac and cheese began to move closer to the rear of the table. Solo had a gleam in his eye. He could see his plan was working and that the food was indeed getting closer. Any second now, just an inch or two more. Just then, a couple of catering workers entered the marquee and went around the tables to make sure everything was perfect. Noticing a slight crease in the tablecloth and the somewhat misaligned mac and cheese buffet tray, they moved it back without noticing Solo, who was frozen in mid-pull. Then they left the tent. Frustrated, Solo realized time was no longer on his side. Clearly, the guests would soon be making their way in to chow down on his mac and cheese. Bold action was now required. Pulling much harder this time, Solo succeeded in moving the food towards him. Unfortunately, he pulled too hard and too fast. The chafing dish tumbled off the back of the table, dumping mac and cheese all over Solo. Worse, the small candle under the tray designed to keep the food warm fell onto the grass, rolled slightly, and promptly set the tent on fire. Solo knew he was licked. If he ran out now, no one would know he was the culprit. It was the caterer's fault. Yeah, that was it. They placed the food too close to the edge of the table. Mac and cheese? What's that? He was already working on his excuse and a look of complete innocence as he ran out the front of the tent. Unluckily for Solo, just then, the wedding party was entering in a very joyful mood indeed. The happily beaming bride and groom holding hands entered first, and Solo, not paying any attention whatsoever in his attempt to flee the scene of his crime, barreled directly into the bride, sliming her with a layer of mac and cheese as she fell to the ground and he landed on top of her. The rest of the day was a complete blur as far as Solo was concerned. Enterprising guests, primarily young men eager to impress their dates, rushed over to extinguish the fire and prevent it from spreading enough to create a full-scale disaster. Although the wall of the tent did have a fairly large and coincidentally Solo-sized hole burnt into it. The mac and cheese was, of course, a complete loss, much to the chagrin of kids and adults alike. His spirit crushed, Solo was banished to the kids' upstairs playroom for the remainder of the wedding. To make matters worse, prior to being dumped into incarceration in the playroom, Solo had been unceremoniously rinsed off with very cold water from the garden hose, which he did not appreciate one bit. As he hopped up, placed his front paws on the windowsill and looked down enviously at the still happening party below, all he could think about was what might have been. He could have been down there right now, wandering among the tables of diners, getting attention and being petted and fussed over by the guests, because as we all know by now, Solo adored attention. He might have been able to use his best, aren't I lovable look, and a needy whine to persuade a guest to surreptitiously slip him some of that tasty mac and cheese, as well as other delectable treats. Or, after everyone finished eating and got up to cut a rug to the wedding band's music on the dance floor, surely there would have been leftovers on the dinner plates. With little effort, while everyone was absorbed by the celebrity mood, he could have placed his front legs onto an empty chair and popped up slyly to snarf down some mac and cheese and other goodies without anyone even noticing. In all his time with his family, Solo had never felt so morose as he did right then. Where did he go wrong? How come he was being punished when clearly there was a design flaw in the whole serving table setup? And to make matters worse, no one had fed him, not even his bland and boring regular dry food. It was this lack of culinary variety that had prompted Solo to look for adventurous eats in the first place. He continued to gaze longingly at the party below, the party lights now on, twinkling in the twilight. Solo sighed as he moved away from the window. He couldn't even leave the room. The door was closed, and try as he might many times before, he had yet to figure out how to open a door. Just then he smelt something. Could it be? He sniffed the air expectantly and zeroed in on the source of the smell, a small rubbish bin in the corner of the room. He went over and looked in. Sure enough, a half-eaten toffee bar. Yum! Slowly, Solo fished it out. Keeping it in his mouth, he went to the sofa and lay down and started to slowly eat the delicious confection. This was paradise. It proved to Solo that maybe there was a doggy heaven after all, and that maybe perseverance is its own reward. He had heard Dad say that often enough, usually when he was lecturing the children about something or other. So as he lay there, chowing down on the forbidden pleasures of the toffee, he was well aware he was getting toffee on the sofa, which would mean he would be found guilty as charged soon enough for the second time that day. But Solo didn't mind. Retribution was surely a few hours away, judging by the sounds of the party and the music below. And all that mattered was, as the toffee stuck to the roof of his mouth, was that he was happy now.
You were listening to Solo Attends a Wedding, written by J.R.R. Langley and read by the author. Solo Attends a Wedding can be found in Solo Book 1. With illustrations by Stephanie Schultz, edited by Katherine Perkins, published by Heavy Media. Find this story and more in the Books of Solo Adventures at Amazon.com and at SoloTheDog.com. Ask for Solo at your favorite bookstore.